Hey, hey, this is Rebbetzin Vefkan Grossman from the Connected for Real podcast, and I want you to have access to the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat right here in your ears. If you would like to access all of the links, workbook, or get your free one-on-one with me, go to connectedforreal.com/retreat. Enjoy. Welcome to the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat Day 2. Oh, isn't that exciting? Day 1 was all about connecting to yourself and really getting to know, what do I really want, right? And this is prerequisite to anything else you're going to ever do in your life, okay? And I'm going to tell you why I said that in a moment. Day 2 is step 2 of the Calm Method, and the A stands for ask for abundance. Okay. Let's just wrap up what we did yesterday. Let's hear from you guys how day 1 was for you. Tell me in the chat, what has happened between yesterday and today that feels like you're on the right track? Like you're really proud of yourself. Let's hear. Okay, cool. Oh, I love it. Yes. It feels really good to be intentional, doesn't it? I love it. Very good. Okay. Ask for abundance is all about God, our connection with God. I went to sit outside in the park while I had to watch my granddaughter, and it was so nice seeing, talking, and connecting to people. Congratulations. Isn't that amazing? Just getting out of the house creates so much possibility. I once heard, what was her name? One of the really sweet business coaches. She said that when she feels like limited, she goes outside, and the fact that there is no ceiling, there is no limitation, helps her think beyond. And I love that. And I find also that I get more clarity and I get more connections and more, you know, like stuff is flowing when I'm outdoors. So I definitely agree with that. Good job. Why am I saying that day 1, connect to yourself, is a prerequisite? Because can you imagine, right? We're always told, like, something's going on, pray, turn to God, right? And I'm not saying that is wrong. You know me, I love God. Okay. Totally connected. But here's what it sounds like when you come straight to God. God, I don't know what you want from me. This is happening and that's happening and I don't even know what you want because I don't know what I want and right? It sounds icky, it sounds grabby, it sounds needy, it really has the wrong energy. And as much as God loves us and wants to give us and shower us with all the love, when we have no idea what we want, when we come with this like naggy, icky energy, there is very little that he can do to, like, you know, push us in the right direction. And when you first connect to yourself and say, what do I want? Here, let's make this silent. What do I want in this situation right here with all this mess, with all this gook? Like, ew, it's not what I wanted, right? Like, I did not sign up for this. What do I want? And then you turn to God and you're like, okay, God, I really want peace. I really want this to work out. I really want whatever. Doesn't that sound nice? You know, like, I'm turning to you and I know what I want. It changes the energy. Okay. Let's talk about God baggage. A very, very beautiful way of describing it And my Rebbetzin, Ronza Attar, she teaches a really amazing class in Mesilat Yesharim, The Path of the Just. And I absolutely love it. It's like one of my things that I will not give up. And she gave a whole class on God baggage. And it just like blew my mind. Just the concept, the amount of stuff that's holding us down, that's keeping us heavy, is all the beliefs that we have about God. God is harsh. He's mean. He's scary. He's demanding. He's heavy. He just adds more and more things. It's never enough. Whatever things come up for you, right? And you don't have to have all of them. You probably have some of them. We're all human and we all grew up in this like mishmash of beliefs, right? There's this like heaviness about what we think of God. And in reality, God wants you to be happy. And God doesn't make any extras. So he made you to be you here on purpose. And that's a really important thing to remember. I put you here for a reason. And I think the million-dollar question that everybody has been dealing with is, so why am I here, right? So why did God put us in this world? And the answer that the Ramchal in The Path of the Just says, and pretty much in all his books, and this is echoed by, you know, many, many rabbis over the years and over the generations, is that God put us here to connect to him. Like basic, right? You can add to it like a lot of different things. God put you here for this and for that and whatever, but basic, bottom line, why did God create humans? Is so that we can connect to him, so that he can have someone to have a relationship with. And all he wants is to give. And all he wants is for us to be happy. This is starting to sound a little bit parallel to what we spoke about yesterday, right? It's like, all your husband wants is for you to be happy. Learn to receive. And here in step two, we see a parallel to that. We're like, all God wants is for you to be happy. Learn to receive. Learn to know what you want. Learn to let yourself have it. Learn to give yourself permission to enjoy it. And this is like mind-blowing. When I think about God and this world, and you could totally date me with this because, you know, we watched a lot of cartoons when we were kids, but I think of the submarine under the water, and then there's like the little periscope, and the periscope goes like, looks to the right and looks to the left, right? And then looks forward and blinks. Ding, ding. And that's what I think of in this world. We are walking around looking for answers. We're like, let's say I'm looking for a job, right? So I'm this submarine, I'm looking to the sides. I'm like, I'm gonna send my resume, I'm gonna talk to this person, I'm gonna go and ask, I'm going to look through the newspaper, I'm gonna look on all the ads, I'm gonna talk to the people, blah, 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 right? And I'm like, just looking side to side. I'm looking for the answer in this world from these people, from the things that are parallel to me. And if I would just turn up, look at this, click. What happens when you click? whoosh, everything comes down. The answer is always in turning to God. Because when you can get out of that, like, this guy needs to give me a job. My job will be only from this thing. And I need to do this and that in order to get that job, right? I'm like so grabby, so in that I'm in control thing. And everything is supposed to work the way I think it's supposed to work. And in reality, right? We know. It's like totally out of our control. And the only one who can control it and the only one who wants to show us that he's actually here to give it to us is God. So for us to, you know, finally figure it out, all we have to do is click, turn your periscope up. Let God give it to you. And the way you turn up is by asking, by actually literally turning. Mm-hmm. Right? I do this a lot. You'll see a lot of pictures of me with my hands up because it reminds me that anything I receive comes from above. And then it detaches me from all the things I think are the reasons why I'm making money or the reasons why I'm eating or the reasons why my kids can have shoes, right? It's like all these stories we tell ourselves because we're living in this world full of illusions, but in reality, it's all from God. And then once you get that next level, right? God is the source of everything. The next level is he has no limit. God is limitless. So it's like, oh yeah, well, how's that going to happen? Right? Like we have that a lot. And the answer is none of your business. God is capable. Right? He has no limit. It's not like he has a problem figuring out how to give you a job or how to support your family or how to get shoes for your kids or how to feed whatever, right? Like he doesn't have any of those issues. He is not the limited one. We are. And making that really clear distinction is really important because then we learn that I have no idea. Like, right? This in my journal, you'll find this a lot. It's like, God, I have no idea how we're going to do this, but here's what I want. And here's what I think, you know, if this is your will, then let's do it. And he is the creator. So he gets all the creative thinking points, right? Like you're like, can't think out of the box. And you're like, no. Who's going to figure this out? And God knows. He knows how to think outside the box. He knows how to figure it out. You have to trust. Now, we don't like to ask. I'm going to tell you a story about my grandmother. She, thank God, she is almost 88. I have in my notes she's 85, but she's not 85 anymore. You could just tell how long I've been doing this. Her birthday is I think in 2 weeks and she's going to be 88. And she once a couple of years ago fell and broke her hip. And so I called her up and I said, how can I help you? I want to come. I want to bring you whatever you need. Just tell me, how can I help you? And she said, no, I don't want to bother you. You have kids, you have a life, you're busy. And I was like, yeah, but I want to help you. Tell me, I can go to, you know, pick up the walker and I could bring it to your house and I can get you a whatever, that chair for the shower. Like, just tell me. I want to help, right? Like, you want so badly to connect to your grandmother who you love so much. And she just kept saying, like, no, I don't want to bother you. You're too busy. It's too much for you. Does that create connection? Tell me in the chat, yes or no. Does that create connection? Do I feel this amazing connection with my grandmother when I offer to help and she says no? No, right? You guys are great. I love you. Thank you for showing me you're alive. That's amazing, right? We think by no, he's too busy. God has other big people to deal with. He has big issues. Like there's like, you know, world drama that he has to deal with. What does he care about my not having shoes or my button fell or I don't know, my little things, right? And in reality, what we're doing is we are rejecting the connection by not feeling like we can ask. You want her to tell you how you can help her and make a difference for her. Yes. And the second she does, then I will feel connection because I will be like, yes, right? I know how I can help. I want to give. And she's not letting me give because she's not willing to receive. Okay. You guys got this. I'm really, really happy. That was a really great comment. Okay. So bottom line, God put me in this world to have a relationship with me. And God put you in this world to have a relationship with you. And that is the basis for everything we're going to be talking about today. Okay. Here is the link to the workbook. We're going to go to page 2. Here's the everyone in the meeting will get this link. If you are listening the replay, make sure you're on the WhatsApp group because that will give you all the links. And if you just check your email, you probably have all the links there too. So very good. If you're on the podcast, by the way, connectedforreal.com/retreat is going to send you an automatic email with all the links. So that was for the technical issues. Okay. Open up your workbook. Let me see who has it printed out. Who's ready? Oh, gold star. Oh, I love it. Great job. Okay. That's amazing. Makes me so happy. Oh, how do you make Patrin happy by having your stuff? Yay. Okay. How do you ask? How do we connect to God? Through prayer. Okay. And by the way, prayer could be structured or unstructured. Either way, it's still called prayer as long as it has these three components. And just like if you were building a landing page, you would have a formula to follow, right? Or a structure to go by. Like what's the pain point and what's the result and how do you bridge between the pain point and the result? This is the formula to create prayer. And today we're going to be writing prayer, okay? The first part, put and print it. Okay, no problem. You can open it in the next browser. But you know what? For those of you who couldn't print it, please take a paper and pen and actually write your prayer. Okay. You might be the type to type, which is fine. Go ahead and do you. But there's something really beautiful about that eye-hand connection. Okay. So in Hebrew, the formula is Shevach, Bakasha, Hodaya. Shevach means praise. We first want to know who we're standing again in front of, who I am speaking to. So I need to praise. I need to, you know, for my own sake, just understand you are God, right? And even just saying that is enough. Bakasha is request. So I'm going to have here the main chunk of whatever I'm going to be speaking to God about is probably going to be the things I want. And that is based on step one, which was connect to myself, know what I want. I always journal, what do I want? So why do I want this? So what do I want this so much? And what you know, what's going on? And what do I want? And so, yeah, so if I get that, then what do I want? And I try to get it down to like, what is going on? Like, what is me saying? You know, what is ideal for me? And then once I hit it, I was like, oh, now I'm ready to pray. And then I'll go into the prayer, okay? So take a moment, and sometimes this takes 2 seconds, to close your eyes and just ground yourself. Like feel all your energy, just go down to the floor and hit the ground and be like, whoosh, connect. I'm just feeling my body right now. I just want to be. And once you do that, you're going to be able to really pray from a different place, okay? So we said praise, request. And the last part is thanksgiving, right? Hodaya is literally giving thanks. So let me go through the steps and then I'm going to give you some time to do it now. The reason why I'm going to make you do it now is because I know you're not going to do it later. Because you are human and you're probably like me. And the second the Zoom is over, you're going to close your computer and go on with your day. And then you're going to be like, what was the homework? What did you say to do? Did I do it? Did I not? And in truth, this is so important that it's worth my time to sit here and make you do it, like really sit you down. So that's what we're going to do right now. Prayer can be in any language. God understands. Okay. Especially the prayer that we compose ourselves comes from the heart and it comes from whatever, you know, whatever comes up for you. So don't like try to navigate it. Just go with it. So step one, praise. You are the king of the world. You are limitless. I am turning to you because you are the only one who can help me. Right? I want to understand. Let's just give an example. If you went to the guy sitting there asking for money on the corner, probably homeless, and tell him, yo, I need you to help me find a job. He's going to give you this look like, huh? Right? Like, what, me and job? How am I going to help you find a job? But if you go to the guy who actually owns the business, right, in the building and walk in and like, yo, I really need help. You know, you are the one who owns the building. You have all the jobs. I need a job. It's different, right? So by just internalizing that God is limitless, he is the king of the world, he is the creator, he has the answers. If I just say, God, you have the answers and I need your help, I've already arrived. I'm ready to pray, right? And for all you wondering, the only three answers that God ever gives is yes, not now, and I have something better for you. Okay, so don't give me this, well, God said no. No, God never says no. Maybe God said, not yet. You know, keep moving forward. You're on the right track. You just need to get there and he's going to keep coaching you through it. Or he has something better for you. And so he's going to give you a pivot. He's going to show you what other door to follow. But there is never a no. Okay, so that again, the only three answers you will ever get is yes, not now, and I have something better for you. The next section, that was praise. The next section is request. Say what you want. Ask. Don't get all like, oh, it's too little, it's too big, it's too wide, it's too long, it's too, just stop it. God wants a relationship with you. And if you sit around, you know, engineering what you're allowed to ask for, then that's not a relationship. Say what you want. And you know, by the way, the reason why we sit there engineering it is because we have fear of success, fear of failure, fear of everything, right? We're like, what if he says yes? What if he says no? What if I can have it? What if I can't have it, right? Like, stop it already. If he wants to give it to you and if it's the right thing for you, you will get it and it will be exactly what you need. So get moving, move along. Fear can come along, but it can't be the driver, right? Like, he doesn't get to decide. And I want you to get really specific. And here I'll give you an example. When I was praying, like early on in my business, I was like, God, I want abundance. God, I want abundance. God, I want abundance. Every single day I said this beautiful little prayer. Oh, give me abundance. Help me. I need your guidance. Blah, blah, blah. Right. And it only finally like hit when I banged on the extender. My husband had like this beautiful wooden stender that he was gifted from one of his students who is a carpenter. And it was really beautiful. I hit the Ständer and I was like, you know, I haven't been fair. I haven't been honest. I keep asking for abundance, but I'm not telling you what that means. I want six figures. I want to hit six figures. I want you to show me how to get there. I want to know what to do, right? Like, and it felt so good to say it. And I felt so embarrassed because I thought, oh, this is so not holy. Like, why am I asking for that? Like, stop it. Stop holding yourself back and just say what you want and be super specific, because the more specific you can get, the more you will notice how you're getting there. You will see the evidence of you reaching it when you can be specific. If you're like, oh, I want abundance. Well, guess what? You have already abundance. Just look around, right? It's like somebody said, I want more money. So the coach gave him a dollar and said, congratulations, you have more money. You've reached your goal. Right? Like, not, that's not what I meant. Well, how are we supposed to know what you mean? Okay. So we want you to get really specific in the request, and I want you to stop engineering if you're worthy of receiving it or not, or if it's the right thing to ask for. You know, when I'm asking, sometimes I say, I don't believe that I can handle this, but if it's the right thing and if it's what you want, then make it happen, because I would love that. Right? Like, this is something that would make me very happy, but I have no idea what I would do once I get there. Like, I haven't figured it all out, but I'm sure that you did. Like, if it needs to happen, it's what I want. Just be completely honest. Okay. It's going to get you much farther than holding yourself back. And the last step is Thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God. Here's the fun part. You can thank for anything. You can thank for what was. You can thank for what is. You can thank for what will be. Right? It's like, thank you for giving me six figures one day. It's going to be so fun once I get there. Right? Or thank you for, you know, all the money that you've given me throughout the years, because it really was, you know, wonderful to feel sustained, right? Thank you for whatever money I have right now. It might not be that much, and who cares, right? Like, I'm grateful for it anyway. So we can be thankful for what was, what is, what will be. We can also just be thankful for the fact that we have a God, right? In Modim Anachnu Lach, we say in the prayer, the standing prayer, we say Modim Anachnu Lach Sheata Hu Hashem Elokim. Like, basic, that you are our God. Like, what a beautiful thing, right? Like, forget about all the stuff you give us. Forget about all the things that you do for us. Like, all the extra stuff. Like, basic, you are my God. Like, thank you. I remember after I gave birth, I look over to my aunt and I was like, I am so glad I have a God, right? Like, who does this birth thing without God? Right? Like, how do you even push a baby when you don't have what to hold on to? Like, that belief that knowing that he knows better and he knows what's happening, I'm completely out of control. It's so beautiful, right? Just knowing I have who to turn to. Thank you that I have you, that I can turn to you. Thank you for preparing me for this moment, right? Remember, everything that happened to you until this point prepared you to what you need to do right now. And everything that you're going through right now is preparing you for what you will have to do in the future, which also reminds you that if you can't see yourself doing that thing in the future, is because you haven't been prepared for it yet. And there is no way that you can actually see yourself now doing that thing then, because you haven't gone through all the steps. So that makes sense, right? Stop trying to make it all like, oh, I am not ready for it. Of course you're not ready. You haven't done whatever you need to be to get ready. But also look back and see all the things that readied you until this point. Isn't that amazing? All the stuff you had to go through to be who you are now. Those are things you could thank for. And lastly, my favorite thing to thank for is your challenges. Thanks for all the rubbish. Thanks for all the drama. Thanks for all the things I think are really wrong, or I think shouldn't be. I just don't like it, you know? And yet, it's exactly what you put into my life, and I became who I am because of it. So thank you. Okay, now I'm going to put a timer. I'm going to be really, really quiet. Your job right now, and this is not homework, this is actual work, is to write a prayer. And you have the formula on your paper on the top of the page. You know what to do. Start and go with it and see where it takes you, okay? Okay, some people are asking, how long does it have to be? As long as you want. You know, sometimes I go into a whole like 3-page rant thing prayer, and sometimes it's like, 3 lines. It could be as long as you want, it could be, ever so flexible because it's yours. Take a minute to finish up if you're still in the middle. We do this. Okay, some of the questions that came up in the chat that were really beautiful and I want to address. The first one that I'd like to address is how do we balance hishtadlus or hishtadlut and emuna slash bitachon? Okay, so hishtadlut is our part. How do I balance my part in the fact that I have to do, I have to work, I have to go after whatever it is. I have to try. And emuna bitachon, trust and faith, right? So if God provides and God, everything is God's and he just wants to give it to us for free, then why are we so involved in this materialistic world, right? And that's a really big question. And I love it. And I really like this explanation. Sorry, I really like this explanation that Rabbi Attar had told me when I asked him this. It says it's basically like a line. On one side, you have trust and faith. On the other side, you have I have to do all of it. It's all about me, right? So you have like it's all about God. It's all about me, and you're somewhere in the middle. The more faith you have, the less you're going to have to do. The more you feel like you need to do, the more of a wake-up call that you need to get more faith into your life. Okay. And we're never standing in one place on this line. We are always shifting, right? Because this is life. We have those ups and downs. We have our own levels of faith that we have, right? So if I am all the way at this end, it's all me. You guys should all thank me because I put the food on the table and you wouldn't be able to eat without me. That's very much me, me, me. I am in control. I am the one who provides and God has nothing to do with this, right? That's on one end of the spectrum. There's another guy on the other side of the spectrum who'd be like, I have nothing to do with this, nothing to try, nothing to do. I'm just sitting here with my feet up because God provides for everything. So that's it, right? So we don't want to be that. We never want to be anywhere in the extremes, but we always want to be somewhere in the middle that's super comfortable and super ideal for where we want to be. Okay. And this is one of the things that I speak to my clients about when you work with me, when you're in the program, you get coached constantly about how to make it easier. How do you let it be easy? God wants to give this to you. You can let it be easy. You can either take full control and grab it and be like, I have to do all these things. It needs to be a 10-year launch and it's gonna, have 1 million people in the team and we're gonna have to get this much money. I'm gonna have to work this hard and we're gonna have to like stay up all night. Or you could be like, How can this be fun? How can this be easy? How do I allow this to happen without me having to control everything about it, right? And that comes with bitachon. It comes with faith. When you can bring God into the situation, you will find ways of letting things be easy. And it's one of my favorite things to coach women on, because when you let things be easy, things start to be easy. And you don't need it to be all drama, and you don't need it to be all like, "Ooh, so much stuff, so much to do. I'm super busy all the time." That addiction to busyness goes away because we stop having to control it all. Okay. So anytime you ask yourself, "Oh, I feel like I'm working too hard. I'm doing too much. I need to constantly do my part," and it feels overwhelming, go and strengthen your bitachon. Right. And in the prayers, you're going to say, "God, show me how to make this easy. Let me see how this can be fun. Guide me to find the right guides, the right people in my life, the right network," right? Like, God can make the things fall into place like that. And then we think we need to go all and like do all these things. I'll give you a funny example. My first client, okay, so I had a coach and she was teaching me how to get my business in order. And finally, she's like, "Okay, just, do all these things." Like, I gave a webinar and I went like interviewed on podcasts and I did a bunch of things to try to get out, I was on Facebook, like I did everything, right? And I was like, feeling like I have to do all these things. I have to post on Facebook every day. I have to go and find people to be on their podcast. I have to try to get like my name out. And like, there's just so much to do. And like, how am I going to find my first client? And whatever, I got a couple of small clients, but my first really big client was a person who does not have internet in the house. She does not have Facebook. She does not have Instagram. She does not have YouTube. There is no way for her to find me. Right? Because here I am working hard, doing the things I think are going to get me the clients. And then God was so good to me and he just wanted to show me the power of God, like how limitless he is. "Oh, I happened to hear you on a podcast that was on a phone call, because I call in to hear the podcast and I heard your voice and I heard what you had to say. And I said to myself, I have to work with her. And I just found your number and called you out of the blue." Right? And it's like, I don't actually have to be obsessed with posting every day. I don't have to be obsessed with thinking that I have to do this, 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 and that in order to get clients. Like, no, when God wants to send me clients, he sends me clients and I do my part as part of the game. I'm showing up, I'm giving value. Like, that's why I did this for free. The Marriage Breakthrough Retreat aligns with my values and aligns with what I'm saying right now, right? Because like, if I'm already going to have to give value and like try to get people to know who I am, I might as well give you everything, right? And like, if you like me, you're going to work with me no matter what. Like, I don't have to be all controlly and like, I'm only going to give you a little bit and then you have to work with me so that you can get the rest. No, I'm going to give it all to you. And then you're going to be like, "Oh my gosh, I want her in my life. I'm addicted. I'm obsessed. I'm just like, can't get enough." And then you're going to love me forever, right? Like, and then we're going to be friends. Favorite part. That is the behind the scenes, right? Of everything that you just asked about. Okay. The other question, let me know, by the way, the person who asked this question, let me know if this is a good answer for you or if you have any follow-ups. I'm going to go to the next question that came up here because it was also a very good one. There is an actual bar mitzvah coming up and she really wants to make it her dream bar mitzvah, but they can't afford to make it the dream bar mitzvah. So she's finding herself cutting corners and planning the cheapest way possible. And it feels really icky because on one hand she has all these dreams and on the other hand, she's cutting every corner and just sort of mishmashing it. It doesn't feel that good. Right. And this is the last bar mitzvah she's making. So she really needs this to be like, her thing. I hope I got this question right. I'm slightly reading so that you guys don't get the full gist. When planning events, when, you know, preparing for life, we have a mitzvah to have bitachon. We have a commandment to have trust. Right? When I learned bitachon for the first time with Mrs. Stefanski, it was right after high school. We had a class in her house. She was my 11th grade teacher. And after we graduated, she made a class in her house and I loved it. And I hold on to everything I learned there. Okay. So amazing. She taught us that your mitzvah, your focus has to be, this is going to come out the best way possible, right? God wants this to be, and if it needs to be, it will be. And I can already see it. Like, it's going to be amazing, right? Like, this is also with health. Like, he's going to live. It's going to be amazing. We're going to keep going and it's going to be great. And then that line, when whatever happens, happens, that's the line that shifts bitachon from it's going to be amazing to whatever was is supposed to be. Okay, so bitachon before the fact is your job is to make sure that you believe 100% that it will be the way it needs to be and it will be the way you want it to be, right? Like best case scenario, because God is capable and possible and everything is completely there, ready for him to just show you, right? The miracles. And then whatever happens, happens. I don't know, the person doesn't get better or the bat mitzvah happens. You know, for me, it was a bat mitzvah. Bat mitzvah happens and these are the lessons I had to learn from it, right? Or whatever is, right? And then from here on, the moment it happens, then my mitzvah now, my commandment changes from it's going to be ideal. It's going to be, you know, the best that the way I want it to be, to it was exactly how it needed to be. And I have to trust that that was exactly how it needed to be. And I can no longer, you know, come and say it wasn't supposed to be that way. This is one of my favorite things, right? When we have tomorrow, we're going to talk about our husbands. And the best thing that people say is like, I wasn't supposed to marry him, or I didn't sign up for this. This is not what I intended. You know, it's like, you have to realize that there is no way that it would have happened if it wasn't God's will. Okay. How do you know what God wants? By looking at reality, because if it wasn't, then it wouldn't be. If God didn't want it, it would not be here. So it must be, this is what God wants. And now I get to have a relationship with God and say, okay, this is what it is. Now I need your help to make it, you know, to figure it out, to make it the way I want it to be. And then it gets really fun because you get to, you know, shed all the, it should be this way, to just be like, okay, if it has to be this way, then this is what I want. And it gets really beautiful to see like the transformation once you let go of that. So practically, when planning a bar mitzvah or any event, you plan, you sit down and you plan for best case scenario. Ideally, this is what I would want. Like, you know, use the calm method, connect to yourself, be like, you know, journal it out, draw it out, you know, write it out, make little, you know, brain map it out, whatever works for you. If I could have anything, I would have, I don't know, the magnet guy and the musician and the this and the that and the other and blah, 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 blah. Like, put it all out there. Give yourself permission to dream. Give yourself permission to want it. And then afterwards, you can, with your own eyes and your own, like, you know, connection to yourself, say, what's more important for me than what? You know, it's more important for me that, you know, he has this, then maybe, you know, this is second priority. Maybe this is not really that important. Maybe I don't actually want it. Maybe I wanted it because other people wanted it. You get into that connection to yourself that you can now be honest with yourself. And it's really fun to do that. But anyway, after you do all the self work, the step one, you can then go and turn to God and write your prayer and say, God, you're the king of the world. You gave me the son. You know, you're part of this joint effort thing. Let's give him the best bar mitzvah, right? By the way, if it's all about you, then like, but like, I want my son to feel really good about turning bar mitzvah. What do I do? How do I do it? Right? So you bring God into the conversation and you ask to be guided. Show me, guide me. Okay. I want my son to be really happy. I want him to love it. I want him to remember it was the best ever. And then tomorrow we're going to talk about step three, which is listen for the answer. We're going to learn how to do that. Okay. So now you have to come back tomorrow because your answer is like sort of hanging. I'm sure it's not just about you. I'm getting the comment. It's not just about me. No, of course not. I said that as a joke, right? Because like sometimes we catch ourselves like, I need, you know, whatever to be perfect. It's like, it's not about me. It's about, I want everyone to have this feeling. I want whoever it is. Yes, your priority is him. Have a great day also. Okay. We are 1 minute before the end of the hour. Here's what I want from you. Okay. You get a free implementation call with me. I didn't mention this yesterday. I probably just forgot, but this is one of the best things that I offer as part of the retreat. And I highly recommend you all take advantage of this. What you do is you go in, you look through my calendar, you pick the time that works for you. You get 15 minutes of free coaching on whatever you want. Sometimes it's about your own personal situation. Sometimes people just come and, you know, show up to say thank you and make a connection with me. I love that. Please do. I super enjoy meeting you in person, on Zoom in person. So this is a gift I give, and this is super valuable. And I highly recommend you take advantage. This is not taking advantage of me. I don't see this as like, oh, I don't want to bother you, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, this is something I'm offering because I love you. Okay. So take it. You're welcome. Tomorrow we are talking about your husband. We're finally going to talk about him. So make sure not to miss and to come. I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm happy you're here. And I can't wait to see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. I love you all.